We're back. I know it's been a little while. We just released that one shot here at the beginning of the year. And here's our first episode diving back into our main Heroes in Question story. I'm really excited about this one. We had a guest vocals provided by a friend of mine, Jason Fella. Thank you, Jason. Shout out. You can find him probably narrating some books if you're into that kind of thing. I know I am. This is diving into kind of a new story arc, and I'm really excited to see where we go from here. So enjoy, have fun, and tell your friends. Thank you very much. Here we go. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Heroes in Question, where we're going to start our second chapter. Everybody got a big upgrade, actually. I'm really excited about it. We all have new mics, so we're going to be a little bit more professional for everybody listening.
Sound-wise. No other way other than sound-wise.
Yeah. Sound quality is the only thing we're going to be improving.
All right. So, last time, we ended with the retaking of Iron Master, and although it was a great victory for Vicky and her clan, there's tragedy involved as well. A friend was lost. Several crewmates of the ships that had docked at Iron Harbor had been slaughtered by the risen corpse of Uthal. You guys have spent the next several weeks just kind of cleaning up after everything that's happened, taking care of the dead, fixing broken things that were broken in the battle, fixing up the Undercity, fixing up the Overcity. I think Vicky and Adric, you guys spent a lot of time together kind of working to put this place back together. Kayveld spent a bit more of his time, I think, looking for some answers among the survivors of the ships, just to see if he can't get a little bit of a bearing on the quest that he has. After you guys had saved the people in the kitchens, I think Vicky and her dwarves and you, Adric, with her, went hard at work at just putting everything back in place. And Kayveld, while you were in there and you were talking with Rorik, just kind of getting a recount of what had happened, Rorik explains to you that Uthal had been captured. Well, you know when he was captured, because he never showed back up that night. And while being held captive, he never gave in. He fought and he resisted and he grew angrier and more rage. And anytime the vampires came to feed, he would volunteer himself over other people. And he became more and more violent, but not with the people he was trying to protect. And when Ganonmede finally slew him, and he disappeared for a while, and when he came back as a corpse, you know the rest. He was sent and murdered just about everybody he could before you guys showed up and put a final end to him.
It's a bad day
as
for everyone
involved.
As
speaking back with Rorik, you hear somebody pipe up and say, I recognize that accent. Torsteg?
Torsteg? I do not know a Torsteg. Who is this?
You turn and look towards the person speaking the voice, and you see this grizzled old sea dog. His beard is turned quite gray. He's not quite emaciated, but he's getting there. His hair's all wiry. He looks like he's been down here for a while. Like he may have been one of the first captured. He looks up and says, "No, there's only one person I know with that accent. It must be you, Torsteg. How did you get here?"
"Well, let's see. Long story short, one thing. Kibel is not Torsteg and slightly offended that you think I am Torsteg. And number two, you're a mutinous bastard."
As you look closer, you see his eyes are fully white, as if he's gone blind. And you hear him say, "Little Kayveld? Kayveld? What are you doing here?" And it dawns on you that you do recognize him. Though the way you used to know him, he was big, strong, burly. He used to sail under your father. You also remember him, though looking quite mean. He used to be the one to give you extra rations on the ship for the growing boy that you were, or bring you back sweets from shore leave. This is your father's old friend and an old mentor of yours, Hofstede.
So this Hofstede fella, now was he on the ship when the mutinies were taking place there, when we all got booted? Because just got done calling him mutinous bastard.
He was not. But do you remember who all was there or not? I mean, you were kind of a younger kid, weren't you?
Oh, it was only 3 years back.
So no, not everybody was there when it happened. And Hofstede happened to be on shore leave at this time. He didn't know what happened at all. In fact, as you speak with him, he explains to you that while he was off, he was off for the... It was about the end of the season. And when he came back for the next season, he was just told that Torsteg had retired and taken his kid up north. That's all he knew.
All right. So, long story short, let's just cut through the bullshit here. I explained to him the backstory there. It just take too long to rehash the same thing over and over again.
Okay. Well, he seems to
perk
up a little, like, and five. Then he seems to kind of get a little sad when you mention your father's passing. He gives you his deepest condolences, just kind of shaking his head. He says, "Caveheld, your father was a good friend of mine. If there's anything that I can do, though, in my current state, I don't know what much I can."
"Well, there's one thing I'm looking for, is passage back down south. Now, last time he was on the ships, do you know of anything, anybody maybe coming up that might be a little bit more friendly to head back down south?"
How long have we been down here?
"Oh, hell if I know, my friend. I don't know when you got picked up."
He scratches his head for a moment, says, "I believe we were only scheduled to make the one trip at the beginning. I don't think anybody's coming back till next season. There is something you should know. We moved our operations out of Luskan. We've gone on to Neverwinter, where we can get more trade. The company's grown far more than you might have imagined in the past 3 years."
"Well, I suppose that happens when you rob people.
I knew nothing of that, Caveheld.
As it goes down, we still need to get down south.
I would suggest the only thing I can give you, Caveheld, is knowledge. And my knowledge says that though we're no longer based in Luskan, you might be able to pick up a ship there that'll take you the longer trip down to Neverwinter, where you might be able to either find the ship, if that's what you're looking for, or at least find the ledgers from the harbor master."
"Fair enough. Well, as you've been a nice enough fellow, I will give you... No, I'm not giving you shit. So anyway, we can get you going down south with us, yes?"
I think I'll need a much more rest before I can travel at all."
"You're old and blind. You aren't going to make it through the winter. The dwarves, might as well come on south."
They've said they'd take care of me for a while. There's nowhere I'm going right now. Maybe in a season I'll catch up with you. We'll see what we can happen." And with that, we'll switch back to Vicky and Adric. You guys have spent a lot of effort just kind of searching tunnels, routing out the rest of the converted gray dwarves, making sure that there's no additional vampires, no spawn of Ganonmead. And really, Adric especially has been putting great effort into the reconsecration of this city. So you have been stalwart in this reconsecration effort, and as I mentioned, a few weeks have gone by, and you've managed to take down all the banners, take down all the scribblings and scribes, and just erase any memory that Latagur had ever infected this dwarven city. And with your help, you've managed to put up the banners of the rest of Mordensalmon, and you've been able to repair the statue up in the top city of Morden, and you set scribes of your own and wards at many holy places within the city. And I believe you've even kind of started, you've been a huge help to this clan. And they actually were, especially the clerics among you, very happy to band with you and raise a temple, if you will, to Chandralar herself, your patron deity, who sent you and saved them. As time goes by, how soon are you wanting to get out? You're wanting to get out here before winter, right, Caveheld?
Yes, before winter.
So, before winter rolls around and you guys kind of finally wrap everything up, you gather the supplies you'd need for the road. You put together a plan that you'll start heading south. You'll probably go through the tunnels because winter can come on early in the pass, and go through Hundlestone again, the place where you made your fortune, Kveld.
That's right. Everybody needs to start making the scrimshaw.
Ecstatic to have their home back, to be in their tunnels before the set of winter, and they throw a big party for you guys just to be ready to go. The people who did survive are being taken care of. Everybody's able to drink and eat. And though Vicky has been the stalwart leader, Adric, you've gained a lot of prestige among them, and you're held in high honor at this party. Is there anything that you would like to say as a final goodbye and a final kind of nail in the rededication of this to the Dwarven Pantheon?
Indeed, I would. Out of character, this is going to be an Oscar-nominated speech for anyone listening. So you can say you heard it here first.
Everybody quiets down around the banquet tables. Everybody just a silence falls upon you. And Adric, you stand up.
Damn straight, everybody be quiet.
Thank you, my friend. Okay, friends. We have fought many battles here today, this day, and over these past few weeks. I feel at home. Here is my second home, and I just wanted to say a few words that would help bring blessings upon this land that I now feel so much a part of. And he just kind of stands straight with his hands kind of together, and he says, "Oh, great Chandralar. I, your humble servant Adric, ask that you bless this place so that it may heal. A great malady has been placed on this land in these days past, and with your divine wisdom and mercy, may begin to heal. I also call upon the Highfather Mordensalmon. These poor souls were led astray by a deceiver and a villain, and knew not what they were doing. But they stood together and rose up against it, so that it may once again be theirs. I ask that you forgive them and take them back into your arms and guide these lost souls back onto the path of your glory."
And the crowd,
and he just bows his
head. Banquet table, all the dwarves erupt in cheers.
And the crowd goes wild.
It was Kveld.
That was a good damn speech, my friend.
So the night goes on. It's kind of your last night in the... It's your last planned night in Ironmaster. You sit up at the top of the table with Vicky, the two outsiders that she unexpectedly brought into the fold, into a very reclusive town, and it really just kind of opened up the borders. Is there anything you'd like to say before they leave, Vicky?
Adric, Kveld, you are worthy foes against our enemies. In our time of need, you rose to the occasion and you scuffed out the vermin that were plaguing this city. And as far as I'm concerned, dwarf or not dwarf, you are my brothers in combat, in arms, and everything else. Not weird.
Everybody erupts in more cheers again.
As are you, our sister.
And you guys have a great rest of the night.
Woo, let's go!
Get up early in the morning and...
Let us drink. Kveld, me boulder Jessica is waiting for you. Adric, pick whatever one you like.
About Jessica?
You have pointed that out before.
You can enjoy this.
Okay, well, I need a reminder. It's been a while.
And enjoy the new city. Now there aren't some crazy gray dwarfs trying to snuff ye out.
And everybody just goes crazy. It's a great night. Your party is only dwarves can. And... you get up early in the morning. A contingent led with Vicky to bid you farewell leads you to the tunnel to Hundlestone, and you guys can say some final private words if you like.
Well, I avoided Jessica all night last night. I don't want to make things awkward, so if you could just let her know I don't think this long-distance relationship is going to work out.
I'll tell her. I'll let her down easy.
It's okay,
it's not her beard. It's very soft.
It's
a very soft
human,
beard.
So it's not quite robust enough for Jessica. But she still had the hots for ye. So.
Ye old booty.
It's not her. It's me. Something about the beard.
It's
you know how it
you.
Goes.
It's me.
Vicky, we could not have asked
You just
for
let
her
know I can't...
Go ahead.
I can't say it to her face, you know? She even shaved part of the beard off for me. I just... I feel bad.
It's okay. The beard grows back. And so will her pride.
Very good. Very good.
Vicky, we could not have asked for a better companion. And a better shield mate. We wish you would come with us. Or maybe our paths will indeed cross one day.
I've got a few things to wrap up here, but perhaps if you don't walk too fast, I'll catch up.
I do have short legs, so I swear they make them better than Kayveld out there.
They don't make them much better than me. I am
sure,
one of
buddy.
The nicest and friendliest people you will meet. Also, as we go south, if you cannot find me by looking for my regular name, sometimes I go by Gregory of the Southland. You ask around the bars for that one.
All right.
They'll know. Either will go by the short and standard. Okay. We sometimes need to use pseudonyms, you see?
Pseudonyms.
Let's just say, Adric, we're going to travel together. You're going to need to know that... There might be some people who do not like me so much.
Really?
And when that happens, I know, me neither. It's a very difficult thing to understand. When that happens, if you see me make the gesture above my head with the double ears, call me by Gregory. That means you probably shouldn't say my real name.
Okay, Gregory.
Not right
As
now.
A gift,
Gregory's
the
a dick
dwarves
name.
Leave you the same cart that you originally set out through these tunnels with that has Stormsbane still painted on the side.
Oh, right. We had a cart.
Kayveld loves his carts. He mentions it in like 3 episodes.
All right.
It's true. I painted it and everything.
That's right. You painted it when we first got it.
All right. So, Adric, if you would like,
yes,
you may travel south with me. I can't promise you that it'll be nice and easy roads, but it should be fun, eh?
You have aided me greatly in my mission here. I will follow you to aid you in yours. And easy is not a part of our lifestyle, as we have greatly learned. I welcome a new challenge.
Well, that's good, because it's going to be a pretty big challenge. You might have to carry some bags. I just want you to know that right now, so you're not surprised.
So,
isn't that what the cart is
you
for?
You guys continue, you know, your regular back and forth. It's just the two of you, but this tunnel has been known to be fairly safe. You're also safe from the effects of the onsetting winter, which you're glad to be getting out of just in time, because if you would have waited even a few more days, you might have been snowed in Ironmaster for until next summer, and that probably wouldn't suit Kayveld at all. About 7-8 days has passed, about the same time that it took you last time to get to Hundlestone, Kayveld. And as you get closer, you can see that you come out of the tunnel, you're out about a day, and you see the town, the walls of the town, coming into sight.
Kayveld, since you were here before, what can you tell me about this town?
They're very friendly, and if they ask, yes, the dwarves know how to make the scrimshaw over there in Ironmaster. Okay, that's all you need to know.
Okay, very well. I'm sure they are talented dwarves and they probably know how.
Damn straight, they know
so
how.
As you
don't
get
even
closer,
have to lie.
Kind of pulling your wagon along, and I imagine this isn't like a wagon pulled by animals. It's like a little red flyer wagon that you're just kind of dragging behind you. It says Stormsbane Co. on it. Which means we get a retcon. That's what you're standing on, George Washington style.
Right, so as we get close to the town, I'm gonna need Adric to be pulling the wagon while I stand on it in my standard George Washington pose.
Of course, you
pointing
are.
Ahead towards the city.
You're lucky I'm really strong.
So you get closer, and as you get kind of into shouting range, you see some sentries on top of the town's wall, and they're pointing, and one's looking, like covering his eyes, looking down, and you see him talking to each other and waving back to the wall behind you. And as they get close, I mean, you got your name on the side, and you've been here before, so you can tell it's kind of a formality, but they say, "Halt! Who goes there?"
"It is Kavel, your best friend. The guy that you know so well. So, we're going in now,
they
okay?"
They look down. You see them converse a little bit, and they look down again. You see one guy on the top of the wall run and kind of disappear behind it. And a few moments later, you see the gate start to open. And as it opens behind it, you see actually a contingent of people, one of which is that guildmaster. We never said him a name. Do you want to give him a? Anybody want to give him a name from the previous episode?
Jeffrey Pearbottom.
Jeffrey Pearbottom. You see Jeffrey
like
Pearbottom, the mayor. Excuse me, Jeffrey Pearbottom, the guildmaster, who you had done your trading with previously, standing, his arms behind his back, standing straight with a smile on his face as the door opens, and as the gate opens, and he says, "Kveld, you're back. It's so nice to see you."
"You have friends here, I think."
"It's very nice to see me, too. Yeah, we're just going to be passing through, so if you just let us on through, we'll be happy days."
Well, you do know that after the time, it was you and Adric alone for about 8 days. You've kind of gone through your rations. You do kind of need to resupply here. That was one of the reasons you wanted to stop through.
Well,
neither of you are very
by,
good in the wild.
Get some few things, and we're just going to be on our way. Nice to see you again, Jeffrey."
He says, "Oh, Kveld, we have matters to discuss. Come. I have a business.
I don't think I have any matters with you at the moment."
"Well, of course you do. Come on in. We'll he beckons you into the city and says, "Come meet me at our office. We'll give you some fine drink and we'll feed you a meal."
"We are in need of rations, and we may want to consider taking them up on their offer."
So Cable's going to pull Adric real close to him real quick and go, "So, last time I was here, we made some good deals, did some good trades. It's best not to talk to them about anything that might have been traded, okay? We got to keep that on the down low, if you know what I mean."
"I don't quite follow, but I guess I will trust you since you've been more familiar with this town than I."
"They're very shady and sketchy people around here. Not quite so trustworthy as good old Kveld. So, you just keep that in mind when you're dealing with them."
"Okay."
So you follow him in?
We need supplies. We're going in.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll follow.
So you follow Jeffrey into the town, and he leads you to past the guild hall and actually into the next building, which is not quite as big as the guild hall, but as he leads you in, it seems kind of like a magistrate office. It's the magistrate's office. And as you guys enter the magistrate's office, he turns around and goes, yes, "I am the guild leader, but I am also the magistrate of Hundlestone. So, come on, there's a few things that I've been meaning to ask you about when you got here again. You're such a shrewd negotiator. I think that there's some things that we might have use of you for."
"I might be able to help you out, as long as we're all good friends here. We are all good friends here, right? I've had some bad experiences."
He says, of course. "Come, follow me into the office. Your dwarf friend, if he likes, he can have a drink. There's some right over there."
Can I don't drink that yet, Adric? Can I check for how would I see how I'm feeling about this guy? I mean, I'm naturally suspicious, but is there anything that comes off as deceptive about his nature?"
Well, that would be an insight check.
Okay, we're gonna insight check real quick. It's a 13 plus. Well, insight says plus 7, so it's a 20.
All right, you definitely get, and just you, Kveld get kind of a funny feeling about it. Like, he's not saying everything, and his smile is a little slimy, if you will. Not, like, physically, but with intent. It's not sincere, that you can tell. He says, come on. Okay. Just come into the back office with me.
We'll go. Hold on one second. Adric, don't drink anything. This guy's giving me the weird vibes.
That's okay. All right,
so I'm going to go ahead and go with him.
All right. So he takes you into his back office. It's just one door away. And the door shuts before Adric can follow you through. And behind the door, as you get there, Kveld, are... with that door shutting, let me just backtrack there and go switch over to Kveld. Let's switch over to Adric. We'll get to you in just a moment, Kveld. So, Adric, you see Kveld follow Jeffrey into the office and shut the door. And this isn't an empty room. There's other people around. There's a few guards around because this is a public office. And you see them close the door and you lose track of Kveld. What do you do?
I go over to the food, food and drink, or the drink that he offered, and I'm going to use purify food and drink.
Okay. I assume that purifies the food and drink?
Indeed, it's a pretty straightforward spell.
All right, well, it was safe to begin with, but now it definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm heeding Kveld's advice and to not, I still want to drink. But I know there's something wrong that potentially could have been wrong with the food or with a drink. So
you're there for a little bit, and there's a couple other dwarves in the town. I mean, this town is mostly human, but there are a few dwarves that live there as well. And not from Iron Master, they actually live there. And they strike up some chat with you and say, hey, how long are you going to be here?
I don't know. My compatriot is conducting some kind of business he has with your magistrate.
Ah, yes, Jeffrey. He's a sly one. He's probably trying to negotiate some trade deal or another, being the leader of the Traders Guild. Why don't you come with us? Tavern's right across the street. You can see the building from there, and when your buddy comes out, you guys can rejoin up. We'll have some good drinks and share some tales.
Can I roll some of it to see if I can tell if they're trying to just lead me and separate me away from Kveld?
Yeah, that'd probably be insight as well.
Awesome. That's a 17.
So these guys that are talking to you is just a couple dwarves, and they're sincere in their request. They're dwarves. They see one of their kin, and they just want to hear tales.
I guess if it is for a brief time, I must return so that my compatriot can not worry about me. He's a very caring and kind individual.
All right. See, Eric, so they lead you.
See, Adric can lie too.
So I won't even. They don't know him, so I'll make you do a deception roll. So you can follow him over into the tavern across the street, and you share some mugs, and some time passes, and. After a little while, it hasn't been too terribly long. You haven't really been counting the minutes, but you hear a lot of commotion going on in the streets, and you look out the window, you see people like leaving buildings and going out into the roads and the streets and heading towards the center of town, and everybody's going in the same direction, and people look excited, and what do you do from here?
I ask my newfound companions, you know, what's going on? Why is everyone running?
Well, they look out the door and be like, huh, I didn't expect something like this today. I expect they're putting on a show in the square. Let's head out there and go watch it.
As I follow, I ask, what kind of show is this?
And as you get up and head towards the door, and before we answer that, I'm switching back over to Kveld.
Sounds good.
Okie dokie.
Kveld, door shuts behind you, and you look to your left and right, and there's some armed guards on either side of it, and one of them slides a bar over bar behind the door.
Hold on. The magistrate flick out my dagger there real quick to have it palmed.
The magistrate turns around.
I'm very suspicious to begin with.
And says, Kayveld, I've been looking forward to you coming back. Been looking forward to you coming back to town. You see, you know, I think I'll just explain myself in a moment. And all of a sudden you feel a bag go over your head and your vision goes black. And you are grabbed both arms by these guards. Each of your arms is grabbed by one of these guards. And
well,
they start
hold on a second. Hold on a second.
You get punched in the face.
I told you I wanted to have my dagger out of my hand.
Okay, your dagger's
in your hand. I'm gonna slash around like a crazy bastard.
All right. Make an attack roll, and I'm going to make a dex save, and they're going to try to catch your arm as you're doing that.
Come on, nat 20.
Nat 20. I got a nat 20.
I meant the other one.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, because I just got a nat 1, so...
Oh, crap. So they actually you just reach out and they just smack the dagger out of your hand, and now they just pin your arms like directly behind you, and they just start dragging you, and you can't see anything at this moment. So it's been they drag you out, they not directly behind. You don't feel like you're going backwards through the door you came in. They pull you forward at first, and then you hear them open a door and they drag you. You feel air on you from the outside. So they're dragging you outside somewhere. As they're taking you, you feel them take a corner and they start taking you down. You feel your feet dragging through some dirt. Like they're taking you through maybe an alley or you can't really tell what.
Jeffrey, and my friend, this is not how friends treat each other.
He says, Jeffrey, turn, you hear him. You don't know what he's doing, but you hear him say, gag the fool, and one of the, and all of a sudden you just feel, they don't even take the bag off your head, they just feel, you just feel something around the outside of the bag, but go right over where your mouth is, and just, like, tuck into your mouth. Exactly. And so, you continue to be drug, and it goes on for a few minutes, not too long, and all of a sudden you feel your feet, bang up against something and then bang up against something also, as if you're going up some stairs, but only a couple of them. And then they drag you just a little bit further and you're starting to hear murmurs of a crowd building around you. Adric, let's switch back to you. You are talking with these dwarves and you ask, you know, what's going on here? What kind of festival is this? And they say, well, I think it's a hanging. And they lead you out the door and let you kind of join the crowd. And as a dwarf, you can see a crowd already built and you see a gallows up above. And all you can see is the hooded top of a head, but you can't make out who's standing up there because everybody in front of you is mostly human and taller. And you're at the back of the crowd currently. Briefly what you do.
What is this? Who's being hanged, and what have they done to deserve such?
Well, the dwarf next to you goes, balls if I know. we just join in the crowd. I didn't expect anything like this, but enjoy the show. And
I will not.
You hear,
this is not something to be enjoyed. I'm going to try and shove my way to the front.
All right. You shove your way to the you manage to you're stocky, you're a dwarf. You manage to get through most of the humans. You hear some like curses at you and as you get break to that final like break in the crowd, you see, you know, several guards lined out in front of the gallows and you see them holding Kayveld up on the stand in front of everybody. And you hear at this same moment Jeffrey, who has another guard up there with him, and some person unknown with some light clothes on and the staff, and he says, silence, silence, everybody. And the guy with the staff next to him bangs the staff and you see him mutter something and silence falls upon the crowd. And even you yourself, Adric, you find your voice lost as you're in the vicinity of this bubble of actual magical silence. And you hear Jeffrey speak, and he says, Kveld Stormsbane, you stand accused and convicted of thievery and skullduggery. You fabricated lies and falsely advertised your merchandise in order to rob this town of its gold. The scrimshaw you sold us has the engravings of the scrimshanders who carved them, and to a one they originated from the 10 towns in the Icewind Dale. As punishment for your crimes, I sentence you to hang from the neck until dead. And he pulls off your hood, and Kveld, you finally see this crowd in front of you. You see all the guards around you. You feel them throw a noose over your neck, and you see Adric standing there with the look that he's making. Adric, what's your physical reaction?
So one thing, I'm shocked, and I don't want my friend to die, so I try to back up, because do I recognize that I'm in a silence, since I actually know that spell myself?
I mean, you can't physically speak. You can move your lips and nothing comes out, and you don't hear anybody else. So you can make that, make an Arcana check and see if you recognize it.
Okay, because yeah, I do have that, I can cast that myself.
I'd say you can make that with advantage, too, since it's in your repertoire.
Okay. Nat 20.
Yeah, you definitely know that you're afflicted by a silence spell.
All right. Just one quick question. About how far away am I from the gallows, or from the man?
I'd say they have a line of about 20 feet, but there's guards blocking it, several. And there's several people, you can see them cheering even though it's silent. Like, they're excited to see this. Like, this is, you know, this is Game of Thrones of this day. It's, you know. Anyway. Jeffrey looks at Kveld, and the people up on stage obviously are not in this bubble because Jeffrey was speaking. And Kveld, with the noose around your neck, your hands being bound behind you, but your mouth is free again. And he says, any final words?
Well, hold on a second there,
and
Jeffrey,
they pull
my
the
friend.
Lever and you're hanging and you're dangling. What do you each do? Quick.
Okay, I back out.
I still got a dagger left.
No, your hands are bound.
My hands are bound.
Yeah, it out, they bound your hands behind you.
I'm pretty sure I got a dagger I can reach. I'm going for that.
All right.
I'm trying to get out of the bubble so I can hear myself speak, and then I want to cast something.
All right, so Kveld, make a sleight of hand check, but with disadvantage since you're bound. Adric, go ahead and make a strength check to get.
Does it have to be with disadvantage?
Anywhere. It does have to be with disadvantage.
Let me guess, net 20.
Because that was a 19. Come on.
Okay, so strength check.
Yeah. Push your way through a crowd.
Great. That's a 17 plus 3.
15.
All right. So, Adric, you have a little trouble. You're making some headway, but it's going much slower than you would want. Like, you're succeeding, but you're getting in close to panic mode. Kveld, you are flailing and dangling, and things are getting gray. You reach for your dagger. Where is it tucked? Your boot?
It'd be tucked in the back of my pants, as it wasn't the one in my sleeve.
All right, so you're reaching and trying to get from to the back of your pants, and you're dangling and flailing. And you manage to get a hold of this dagger, but your hands are still tied behind you, and your vision is starting to turn and waver, and you can't breathe. All right, one more quick. What do you guys do? Adric, you're almost out, but not quite there. Probably another strength check for you. Kveld, what are you trying to do?
I'm tempted to cut my hands free so I can grab hold of that rope and pull myself up.
All right, go ahead and make a for that one. I'd probably do a dexterity, just a regular dexterity check to like maneuver the knife around in your hands. And
that is a nat 20.
Okay.
Damn it. Yeah, I'm not making it through.
All right, what'd you get, Adric?
Well, I got what Dustin got. I got what Kveld got earlier. They got a nat one.
Oh, no. Okay, so you actually get shoved back, and at this point, you know that Kayvel can't really last much longer. You turn around just in time to see his hands, like, fly free, a dagger in one hand. In the same moment, as his hands fly free, I mean, everybody's watching him because this is the show. The guard that was standing up there with Jeffrey reaches out and grabs the hand with the dagger, and you see the guy in the robe next to him start casting another spell. And Kayveld, not only does your hand get grabbed as soon as it comes free almost, you all of a sudden feel paralyzed. You can't move at all as a magical spell takes hold of you and your breath goes and things are going black. And before either of you know it, Kayveld, you see nothing. Adric, your friend is hanging limp from the gallows.
Okay, so can I talk yet, or am I, like, still in that silent thing?
Another moment passes, and when Kayveld isn't moving anymore, and I'll get to you in a second, Kayveld, with something. Let's just stick with Adric for the moment. The silence lifts.
Okay, I'm going to use spiritual weapon right next to the guy who's casting the spell, and it's going to be
what's the components for that? Like, is it verbal, somatic, material? What's all the stuff for that, real quick?
Verbal and sight. So I just need to talk
somatic.
To see him.
It should be S is for somatic, so it's like finger movements and stuff. Yeah, the VSM, V is verbal, S is like movement, somatic. So as soon as you start to move to cast the spells and your lips start moving, one of the guards near you, because they're watching the crowd for anything that could interfere, just kind of moves up and grabs you and stops you from being able to do anything and says, "Show's over. It's time to go home now."
I take my hammer and try and hit him with it, because he's keeping me from helping my friend.
All right. Go ahead and make an attack roll with it.
Nat 20.
All right. So you go ahead and roll your 100 also.
24 for the 100.
All right. So you can do it. It's that for you is going to be Savage Chop, ignores any damage resistance, and you don't get a reroll. You can't roll a 1 or 2 on your damage die. So if you do roll a 1 or 2, keep rolling until you don't.
Okay,
and
so
roll an extra damage die.
Yeah. So if it's a 1 or a 2 reroll?
Until you get something else, yes.
Both of them were 2s, so I get to reroll both of them.
Yeah.
17 damage.
All right. You get your maul out, and you actually swing, and you knock this guy right upside the head, and you see him kind of crumple before you. And in that moment, you see all of the other guards, and you're surrounded by a mob of people who all of a sudden start going crazy because somebody's attacking. You have 3 other guards instantly on you, trying to subdue you. And let's see here. One's going to grab your arm, another's trying to try to take your weapon, and the other is going to try to just hold you, like, as a whole.
Do I get to do any kind of resistance check? Or
yes,
like
you will. I was just getting my numbers first.
Okay.
All right. So go ahead and roll. You can choose a strength or dexterity.
Definitely strength. That's way better. 13.
All right. So one guy gets a hold of your arm and kind of nullifies your ability to use your weapon, and the other two are still kind of trying to grasp you to disarm you, and you see more kind of coming in and actually running for you. Like, you're the one person trying to do anything here, and it's their job to not let things get out of hand, and they were really well guarded. At the same time as you're doing this, you can already see that they're cutting down Kayveld's body, and Jeffrey speaks up at this moment as well and says, "Hold! Hold, good dwarf, our quarrel is not with you. We'll give you back the corpse of your friend. Just leave this town, and we'll continue our trade with Iron Master, no problem." And you're still surrounded by guards. One's still holding your arm, and as you guys are all tangled up, they start to pull Kavel's body to you.
I keep resisting because they apparently killed my friend, so I'm going to keep resisting them with what I have. I try and use my shield to bash the one of them to my side.
Okay, go ahead and make a shield attack roll, and I think that'll just be a d4.
Yeah, it's, I'm not even sure, I can't remember what shields are, but we'll see if I hit even. That's a 21. Not nat.
Alright. So, you definitely hit the one of the guys next to you, one still holding your arm, and they're going to go ahead and make a strength throw to resist again.
Well, do I get to, I roll my damage first, right?
Oh, yeah, go ahead and roll your d4 damage, but also roll...
Just 5.
Okay. So yeah, you kind of like bloody his nose, but they're going to hold you again. So go ahead and just make a resist strength throw.
Better than last time. It's 15.
All right. You managed to, in this moment, finally actually break free of the guy holding you. But at that point, they all back away anyway. Like, they just kind of scramble backward. And the one guard that was up on the top that... with Kayveld, who originally grabbed his arm when he's got his dagger, just takes the body and drops him at your feet and says, "Be gone." And they just turn and leave.
We are not done here.
And in this moment, we're going to pause and we're going to go to Kayveld. Kayveld.
Kayveld wants you to know that he rolled a nat 20 and for some reason or another still managed to end up dead.
Yeah, I was really confused myself.
You're surrounded by white, or maybe black. You honestly can't tell.
As long as it's not red, then you should be fine.
Everything is the same in all directions. You're unable to speak. You can't feel the passage of time. A moment later, or lifetime, you're really unsure. All of a sudden, you're standing behind a man, and past him, looking down, is an island. Another moment, or maybe lifetime, passes, and the man turns towards you. His face is old, but hard. He has a full beard that's gray but streaked with white, and one eye is hidden by a patch. And he says,
"Kveld, what am I to do with you?"
He pauses and puts a hand to his chin until he seems to have an idea.
"A death neither glorious nor noble. You have not earned your way into my hall. Neither, though, have you earned a trip across the Gjoll, I believe. You are not wanted in Helgafjell or Folkvanger."
He's interrupted as a large black bird lands on his shoulder. The bird moves his beak towards the man's ear and then flies away.
"I shall lay claim upon you, but you must perform for me a task. There is a storm brewing from the island of Ruithem. Thus I shall send a Stormsbane to quiet the growing tempest. Furthermore, take with you the two dwarves you have been accompanying recently. You'll need the fighting prowess of the one and the divine influence of the other. Moradin is our ally in this."
He reaches his hand forward until it fully encompasses your vision. And when he pulls it back, he's holding a small white orb between his fingers.
I think I'll keep a hold on this for the time being. Return to the living, Kveld Stormsbane, as my agent. Quell the squall and earn your place in my hall.
Can I have that back, please?
Of course, Kveld asked a deity if he can have his shit back.
Kveld.
I was using that.
You awaken, and I'm going to fast forward time and just explain. Adric, there was nothing you could do. The whole town was against you. There was nothing to fight. It was just unarmed people at that point. And you were able to take Kveld's body and leave the city. And you pull him in the wagon, and a day passes overnight, and I think you're getting ready to maybe bury your friend. You don't know what's happened. And as you're getting ready, his eyes shoot open.
Ah, zombie!
Well, it looks like I might have died for a little bit, but on the other hand, it looks like we need to burn down that fucking town.
Kayveld, as you start to sit up, something falls off your chest into your lap.
Is it the white shiny thing that he took from me? Because I kind of wanted that back.
No, it's an eye patch.
Oh.
Awesome. Oh, okay. That's even better.
You reach up and feel and scratch at your neck, and you can see it too, Adric. Although Kayveld can't see it, he can feel it. He now has a permanent scar around his neck from the rope burns.
Didn't you have a scar from something else that we did? Or was that me?
That might have been you. I don't think I had any scars yet. I was okay. So pretty.
So you do have a neck scar now.
Doesn't change the fact that Kayveld's mildly vengeful. He mildly, does, in fact, plan on going back and burning that town to the goddamn ground.
Well, I agree with you, Kayveld, that they do deserve some kind of divine retribution. We are two, and they are many. We must pick our battles carefully. You have been to the other side and back. And that is a miracle.
They said they didn't want me.
So heaven literally kicked you out. Or how? I don't know what you saw.
Kinda how, they both did. So I think right now, my understanding is, I'm fucking immortal. Nobody wants me on either side. The scene keeps sending me back.
That wasn't supposed to be what you take from that.
Do you really expect Kayveld to not think he's immortal?
What do you do with this? I mean, this eye patch is still sitting in your lap.
I'm going to put it on. I mean, it's there.
All right. Which eye do you put it over?
I'll put it over. Go ahead and put it over my left eye there.
Okay. You can still see fine.
Okay.
I mean, as fine as you can when you have an eye patch over one eye.
All right.
Goodbye, depth perception.
It makes me look rugged.
So, Adric, make a perception check for me real quick as he's doing that.
Perception check. Okay. That would be a 10, but my passive perception is 13.
Okay, yeah. You don't really notice anything. All right. So, a scar and an eye patch, and a near-death experience, if you will. You guys kind of have a goal. Kayveld, you have a lead on your ship, and you have a directive at this point as well. And I can say that you are, though antagonistic, you're still smart enough to realize that disobeying what you saw might have consequences. That's all.
We'll get them later.
Well, a storm is brewing. Doesn't necessarily mean I can't burn that town down on my way to wherever the storm is.
Oh my god.
Gable wants to go back to the town. He wants to burn something down before he leaves.
Can I do a persuasion check to convince him that's a bad idea right now?
With other players, you just have to actually persuade. I'm sorry.
Oh, lame. Kayveld, I understand your drive for vengeance, but it is not the time. While you are
still. It's not vengeance, my friend. You love this god, and the god loves you, and you know, justice. This is justice right now. That was not nice. They hung me by the neck, and then heaven and hell both said they don't want me. I'm immortal. You don't understand.
I do not believe you are immortal now. I believe you are. You are blessed in a way.
Lucky.
Pretty sure the dude with the eye patch said I was more or less immortal. He said they don't want me yet, and then he took a shiny ball, and I kind of want the shiny ball back.
I don't know this man that you speak of, but it sounds like someone very important that whose words should be obeyed. The word of the gods should not be taken lightly.
He didn't tell me not to burn the town down. See, it's like the god with the one eye. He's got a plan for us, and it involves burning down Mr. Pearbottom's house while he's sleeping inside.
Kayveld, you just kind of get up and start marching back towards the town in the direction that was indicated. At one point, Edric said, "We're not going back there," and pointed, and you just took that as the way it was. And as you get there, you see, again, a closed gate and sentries on the top, and they look down, and they start freaking out and instantly start shooting arrows at you because a dead man is walking up to their gates.
I was going to sneak up to the gates because I'm burning down this one guy's house.
All right. Roll a stealth check then.
That's an 18 plus 3. 20,
all right, so they,
21.
So they don't see you, but there's still a gate and wall in front of you.
We're going over. I want to burn this guy's house down. You don't seem to understand.
All right, go ahead and make an acrobatics check to, an athletics check, because you're not flipping up the wall. Athletics check to climb the wall.
I'm flipping up the wall. I want to flip up the wall.
You're not Spider-Man.
I'm much better at acrobatics than I am at athletics.
Yeah, I know. Athletics check.
That is a 16 plus 3, so that would be a 19.
All right. So as you crest the wall, you
He's
lose
going like
cover.
Terminator, all right?
You lose cover, and now the guards see you, and...
Athletics plus 3.
And now the guards see you as you crest the wall and lose your cover and start freaking out and shooting arrows at you.
You forget that he still believes he's immortal. He's going.
All right. They're rolling attacks. We'll just no need for initiative. We'll just take quick turns because I know Adric didn't go with you.
Nope.
I rolled an 18 and a 17. That's not even adding modifiers. That two arrows thunk into each side of you, and they hurt like hell. You take.
I'm gonna use Uncanny Dodge. And use my reaction to have the damage against me.
You're going to have one of the damages against you. Because you get to react once.
Fair enough.
Technically two separate attacks, yeah.
So 7 and 6. I assume you have... So either way, it's going to be 9. 9 total damage instantly taken as you crest this wall.
Okie dokie.
Technically, you haven't disproven that he's immortal yet.
It's true. All right, so on my turn... I'm gonna go for a hide, roll over the top of that thing and go for a hide immediately.
Okay, what, you're jumping off the wall you just climbed? What are you rolling over? Where are you hiding?
I'm rolling over the top of the wall and down the side, going for a slide down, in a very flippy fashion.
It is straight down, so you're gonna have to roll another athletics check and it'd be very high not to take some landing damage.
Nat 20.
That's a 19 plus 3.
All right. You only take a little bit. You only take a single point of damage as your feet hits the ground.
You broke your pinky toe. All
right. More arrows are coming in your direction, and they've called out, so a couple more archers.
You didn't give me my hide. You didn't give me my hide for my action.
Go ahead and hide.
Because it's nighttime, right? We talked about being nighttime.
It is nighttime.
17 plus 3 on the stealth.
All right. How are you hiding? Like, what? You drop down the wall. Are you just, like, chameleoning up against it, or?
I'm rolling to the buildings up close by it. There's always buildings up by the wall.
There are. Okay. So you roll up into a building and into an alley, and you hear up atop, "Where did he go? I don't know. It's a fucking zombie. Somebody get the guards on alert." All right, you are hidden, and combat is technically over. We're just doing speed rounds here. I don't want to spend too long on this.
You just hidden a bush, and somehow guards don't notice you, even though they're looking right at you.
Well, he ducked down a corner, and they saw him land, but they don't know where he went after that. All right, speed rounds. What are you doing now?
I'm heading straight to the dude's buildings that I know that are his buildings, and I'm going to go burn them down. That's my plan. My entire goal is to burn them down and get back out.
So you head to the main road just enough to kind of get your bearing, and then you start heading towards the guild house, and then you know just past it is Jeffrey's house. And you see, as you duck back out, you see people with torches running up and down the city, just kind of like screaming for each other, saying, "Undead! Undead!"
Fair enough. Is Adric in, like, earshot to hear them, like, the commotion going on in the city?
No, probably not. No. I mean, how far did you follow? Did you follow him up towards the walls? Or
you never said how far away we were from the walls.
You took him out. Yeah. You took him out of sight of the walls. Like, obviously you didn't want to stick by the town that just killed your friend.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking because sound travels pretty, depending on how loud it is. If are there bells ringing? Or...
No, there's no bells ringing, and it doesn't quite reach you yet.
Yeah, I didn't really get an opportunity to decide what I was doing before, but I mean, I guess I would have followed a little bit. So, I guess I...
Yeah, just hold on just a moment for me, Adric. We'll just finish Kayveld's little thing, and we'll get back to the group. Sorry. All right, so you're behind his house. What do you do?
I light it on fire.
All right, you strike some matches from your tinderbox and whatnot, and you kind of, would you just light it and run?
Well, I'm looking for like oily rags or whatever else is around it. Anything that can make it burn better. Hay, rags, something to burn. I want to burn this dude's house down. He killed me.
Really nothing like that. And as you're kind of fumbling with your tinderbox, you hear footsteps coming from down one side, starting to search the alleys.
I'm slipping in the window.
All right, you're going to have to make a sleight of hand check to unlock the window.
13 or plus thieves 3, 16.
Thieves tools check, actually. It's just dex plus proficiency, probably the same thing.
Right.
All right, yeah, you unlock the window and slip on in, and you end up in Jeffrey's adjoining bedroom at the back of the office. And you actually see him there, just staring, wide-eyed, slack-jawed.
So, at this point in time, I'm going to threaten the dude. My friend! My friend Jeffrey! Nice to see you again. You might notice that I am less than dead as you suspected.
He's just slack-jawed, staring.
I'll backhand him real quick. Hey! Listen to me!
No reaction.
All right, my friend.
He nods.
You go lay down in bed. Go on. Shoot.
He goes and kind of sits on his bed in his nightgown.
All right. Does he got an oil lamp or anything in there?
He's got some alcohol, like bottles of alcohol, kind of on a stand in there.
I'm going to smash a couple bottles on the ground. I'm going to spark them and go to leave. That's what I'm doing. I'm lighting this dude's house on fire. He killed me. I'm killing him back.
I'm really hoping you're not going to do what I think you're doing.
I was thinking about it, but I decided against it last second.
Oh, phew. I thought you were going to dump the oil on.
And just to move it forward, because this was a little side jump, the next thing you know, Adric,
okay, thank God.
You do hear screams, and you do hear yells, and you do hear bells, and before you know it, Kayveld, you see the silhouette of Kayveld approaching you with an orange glow behind him towards the city.
What did you do?
Well, you see, you shouldn't fuck with me. You want to see what I'm saying here?
Okay.
The dude killed me. I did not kill him back. Unless he didn't make it out of the house.
And with that...
Wait, what?
Nothing. Let's carry on.
I grabbed the wagon and... I'm assuming we're running, because that doesn't look good.
Let's cut. You might need to give me a little bit of healing. I think I'm immortal, but at the same time, this shit still hurts.
I can help you with that as soon as we make our apparent need for escape.
All right. So, yeah.
We should probably move.
Run
let's
through
carry
the
on.
Towards, I assume, Luskan?
So much praying. Anywhere away
yeah,
from
we're,
here.
Yeah, we're heading south towards Luskan.
Oh, man. Okay, so Luskan is still quite a ways away. So how do you want to spend your trip? As you want to kind of go along the main road? Do you want to? It's a really fairly well-traveled road. It's not necessarily the wilderness. Or do you want to kind of rough it? Not that either you are terribly good with survival, and try to avoid the beaten path.
Well, Cable needs to get us some food because
that's true. You guys are out of rations
that we were able to get before we apparently burned the town down.
As
just
to your knowledge,
the one house.
You don't know how much that fire spread.
Cable wants to stick to the main road, so he's going to stick to the main road. I think it's his plan. It depends on what you think there, Mr. Adric. You've been a good, loyal friend. You pulled me out of there when they killed me. Let's,
I would not
we'll call this
behind.
A partnership instead of like a leader and a non-leader. I appreciate that. And for that, I did not burn your house down. You see? It's because we're good friends.
Granted,
I don't burn houses down on my friends.
I no longer have a home, but I appreciate that you would not burn it down if I did.
If you had one, would not burn it down.
I appreciate that greatly, my friend.
You're welcome.
You guys through the next day, and you're still feeling all right. I mean, you guys can go a little bit without really eating. You got a little bit like of your rations left over, but they're really small. The next night, you don't even need to set watch. Like, you guys are staying on the main road. Nothing really eventful happens. And it's through the end of the about third day out of Hundlestone that, I mean, both of your stomachs are really starting to grumble. Really starting to irritate you. You especially, Kayveld. Dying takes a lot of energy.
We have like a river or a creek or a pond or anything around us. Gable's going for fish if he can.
Not in the immediate sight. You would have to probably make a survival check to see if you can't like figure out where one might go. You know, maybe pick up a little divining rod or something.
Well, I didn't find shit. That's a 3+1.
Yeah, I think you went in and saw some mushrooms and some berries, and you ate a few, and you spend the night shitting yourself. Adric, what are you doing about your stomach?
I got the ass fever!
I will also try a survival and see if I can do something. I guess I'll quote, instead of traditional survival, I'll pray that for...
Okay, so you kind of want to use guidance.
Yeah, kind of. So,
or a form of guidance, not the spell. Like, you're going to talk through your bracers.
Yeah. And actually, my survival is okay, because it's based on wisdom, and I'm a very wise man.
All right.
Not in this case, though. I rolled an 8+4, so 12.
12. All right. All right, so you actually, you don't find anything yourself, but you see Kayveld coming back with some mushrooms and berries in his hands, and you recognize those, and you say, "Ah, Kayveld, don't eat those." And he looks at you and says, "Too late." There's like berry juice dripping down his chin. So,
I've been eating them the whole walk back. You could have told me earlier.
I didn't see where
it
you
feel
went.
So great.
Yeah, I would drop those now.
Kayveld sets him down, but he's already been eating handfuls as he walks back, so he's in for a night of rough going, as it were.
Super right. Diarrhea.
So, at the end of you guys rest the night again. Kayveld, you're up quite a bit, and just because of your bad luck with the berries, you're just a little bit further down the a little bit closer to exhaustion than Adric is, and you're going to suffer from level 1 exhaustion. Kayveld, for until you can get some nourishment. And that means you're going to have disadvantage on ability checks. Adric, you're getting there.
Okay.
But you're not quite there yet. It's the next morning, and you guys are, I mean, really hungry at this point.
I would like to
attempt. Is there anybody...
Go ahead.
Is there any sort of civilization or anything like that around? Like, we see any cabins, smoke coming up from the sky, anything like that?
Not much between Luskin and Hundlestone. Luskin's basically the next anything along the route. And as you guys are packing up for the morning, you actually see some some snowflakes starting to fall.
Well, that doesn't sound good, my friend. Let me be honest with you. I spent most of my time in the city or on the sea. So finding the food, not my strong suit.
That is okay. I travel many places over my years, and I have had to do a lot of it without the comforts of home. I will attempt to try and find us some food that will not debilitate you as much as previous.
It's good. Those berries and mushrooms last night, they did not settle well.
All right, so yes, you guys...
I could tell.
Go ahead and roll a survival, and I'll assume that you start traveling before you actually start looking, so you're kind of moving at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's better. 21, not nat. Okay.
All right. So you guys spend about half the day getting and just hungrier and hungrier. And Kayveld, you look like you're going to pass out as you're walking just because, I mean, you lost a lot of fluids also. And Adric, you actually, you see a bit thicker vegetation off in the distance a little bit. Something that's like, it's pretty wild anyway, but you see it's extra green even this time of the year. And it's just a lot more of it condensed. And you recognize that that's probably a sign of water.
I point out to Kayveld, over there we might find water to at least slake our thirst, if not our hunger.
And Kayveld recognizes where there's water, there's a lot of times fish or frogs.
That's game on, my friend. Let's go. We're heading to the water.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys, I mean, it's not a tough trek. It's off the road a little bit. I mean, you kind of just lose sight of it. Like I said, you're able to see the vegetation off, but with the vegetation itself, you're out of sight of the main road, and you do come across kind of a bend that kind of comes towards the road and back away of a little creek. And though, as you look in it, you don't see fish or any place that you might find fish per se, but you do know that all sorts of animals always come to the water. And you do hear the croaking of frogs.
Okay.
Try to catch me a frog.
I'm going to use, drink some of the water. And I guess I'll pure, not sure how that would work.
It's creek water.
Fill water skins.
Most people can just drink straight out of it.
Fill in the water skins, drink of my fill.
Yeah.
And trying to give me something to eat.
Yeah. How are you going to try to catch a frog, Kayveld?
With my hands like a man.
So that would be, I think, probably a straight dexterity check. Disadvantage because of your exhaustion.
Oh, shit. That's either... So 8 plus 3. That'd be the lower one. The other one's 11. So 8 plus 3. So
okay.
11.
I mean, frogs aren't terribly hard to catch. Children do it. So I would say you probably actually managed to get one.
Roast that sucker over a fire.
All right.
I want to look over this frog, though, first. Make sure it's not like some poisonous frog going to kill me if I eat it. I already had the shits. I don't want it again.
Well, that would be another survival check.
Survival check. That was a disadvantage as well, correct?
Yeah, because until you eat, you're just not thinking straight.
So it's a 3. 2 plus 1.
I would say you probably just...
As far as I'm concerned, this is good to go.
Yeah, so you just roast it and eat it anyway, huh?
Apparently.
It was fine. It was a normal frog. You're starting to feel a little better. You're still hungry, but you're not exhausted anymore. Frog doesn't go a long way.
All right. It's settled all right. Okay, good to go.
How are you handling it? So you drank some water. You're feeling a bit better with the water, but you're kind of hungry too. And Kayveld, I think, kind of ate a little selfishly, but he kind of needed it too. If you guys wanted to work together to maybe catch more or try to find something else, let me know how you want to resolve this survival challenge.
Well, I have some leftover vestments and clothing. I was thinking of putting it under the water where we see frogs, and when they hop, to pull it up and like fling them out so we could catch them. So like have Kayveld watch out for when I like all fling them and he catches them and we eat them that way.
Yeah. How about you guys both roll a percentage, and we'll just see how successful you are at this, just because I don't know a great check, and I'd say you guys can do this, so I just want to see how much you do this. I'm going to take the average.
So, 78?
Thank God, because I rolled a 14.
Okay, so that's basically 75 and 50. So you're a little under half. That's not a, it's still a success. I just wanted to see how many you get. I would say it would take like three or four frogs to like fill a belly. I would say you guys caught about four total to share. So you guys are going to be feeling better. Not starving, but it's not going to be enough, but you've kind of tapped yourself out of this creek for the end, but it's still a good place to camp. So you probably make camp here for the rest of the day, fill up on water, get everything you need, avoid the berries. and the next morning you guys can kind of head back on track.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Back south we go.
So indeed, we must make haste.
Head back towards the road and continue to travel. And again, as a well-traveled road, you don't expect to encounter bandits or anything like that. You don't have to be too careful just because, you know, the guards come up and down here. And so the next couple days are kind of uneventful too. Do you want to do anything during these couple days, or do you just want to wait till you're hungry again to actually look for food again?
I think we should probably look for food before we become to a point where we are exhausted.
Yeah, well, we're looking for food as we go down. Neither one of us is apparently all that great at survival, which is unfortunate.
I've been rolling that. I'm actually pretty good at this, but my dice aren't, apparently.
All right. So you guys...
Yeah, we're still looking for food along the way down.
You guys kind of keep traveling, and being that you're no longer, having a hard time with it, you're able to kind of keep yourself going just off the small game that you happen to see, since you're not exactly hunters. You're like, squirrel, and you chuck a knife at it or something. it's about the extent. Kayveld, I do want to point out, you're wearing this eye patch. It's a lot harder for you to use any kind of thrown or ranged weapon, you've noticed. You're not doing that great at actually catching these.
He's probably going to take that eye patch off during the day.
All right.
There's no one. That,
didn't
there's
seem,
no one around
didn't
to
seem
show
to give
off.
Him anything special.
Yeah, there's no one around.
There's no one around to show off. So he's taking the eye patch off during the day, putting it in his backpack.
Okay. So when you take it the first time you take it off after you've had it on for a while, after it dawns on you that I can't do stuff, you're not any better. You're still having a tough time just placing the depth of things. And Adric, go ahead and make one more perception check.
Perception is... that's an 18.
You'd notice this time. You didn't notice it before, but Kayvel's kind of been wearing this eye patch that just happened to be on him for whatever reason. His left eye that he had that eye patch over, solid white. Not even glazed like a blind man, just solid white.
I kind of wave my hand in front of his left, on his left side to see.
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay. Kayveld, something appears to be wrong with your eye.
It's very pretty eyes, yes. I have very nice eyes. Ladies compliment them all the time.
No,
thank
I mean,
you for noticing.
I mean, it's not there.
Kayveld, you reach up and cover your left, reach in, you feel your left eye there. You reach over and feel your right eye, and when you cover your right eye, you're blind.
Well, shit.
Can Adric would like to try and dispel, see if there's any kind of magical effect, and use dispel magic on Kayveld's eye.
Okay, and I think that's a ritual you can use, right?
It's an instantaneous. I think I can do it as a. I don't know if I can do it as a ritual.
I was pretty sure dispel magic, because maybe I'm thinking of detect magic.
Detect magic.
Got it. Yeah, you go ahead and you can cast either of those. But either way, nothing seems to change. Kayveld, if you recollect, when the man was speaking to you while you were gone, he reached his hand out towards you and pulled back a white orb, a white ball.
And I said I wanted it back. I told him I was using that.
If this is like a thing over four, I'm supposed to get an ability check with my spell modifier.
It's not something that can be passed or failed. Over the time, you guys have a long way here. I expect you examine it more and more. And the eye is physically there, but the essence of the eye, if you will, is just gone. Absence. There's no real good way to describe it in any kind of physical terms. But like I said, it's physically there, and there's no magic that you can tell. Yeah, it's nothing you'll be able to describe.
I think that bastard god jacked my eye.
but yeah, there's nothing that seems to be able to be done with his vision. So, if you want to, you can put that eye patch back on, or you can leave it off, I guess. But
you can put it on and thinks it makes him look rustic.
All right. Mm-hmm. But it does give you a little bit harder time doing this. And the way we're going to resolve this for any combat or any checks with a ranged weapon is you're going to roll a percentile dice before you make your attack. And if it's under a certain percent, you're going to take disadvantage. And as you get more practice, the number you have to roll under might get smaller and smaller. Does that make sense? You have to practice with one eye.
Fair enough.
All right. So as time goes by, I think at this point, you guys have managed to keep yourselves barely fed enough. And Kayveld, you were raised in Luskin, so you start to recognize, I think, the smell, first of all, of the sea as you start to get closer and closer of this town. And before too long, before you know it, a week and a half, you're not really sure, has passed, and you see the outer walls to the first actual city, full-size city, of the Sword Coast.
In we go!
we must seek civilization at last.
All right.
Damn straight, I got some money. We can get some good food. Hey, we get some good food, Adric. Let's go to the inn.
Food would be most welcome.
So you guys...
I'll buy this time.
So okay. You guys head into the city. You have no issues getting in. And you're able to make your way towards a pretty famous tavern called the Cutlass. That's not far from the docks. And you guys get yourselves a hot meal and some nice rooms. And it's going to set you back just the total night for all of it. Just a couple gold. Not that you can't afford that, Kayveld.
Damn straight. And you want to get the best rooms and awesome food? I just want you to know that right now.
All right, you guys do that. And you guys all, however close to exhaustion you might have got, you guys are feeling great after you eat. And you don't recognize, you've been gone for a few years, and you don't necessarily recognize anybody here, especially since the Sword Coast Shipping Company moved headquarters. But you know that... you can either check out those headquarters and just see if you can find any clues, or you can look for passage to Neverwinter, probably come morning. But at this point, I think that you guys probably hit the bed and start the search for the ship in the morning. Vicky, you needed a couple extra days for some private Ironmaster matters to attend to. And after the celebration, and after Adric and Kayveld had left to head towards Luskin, you had a second celebration just for Ironmaster, in which... being the general that took back the home, being the figure of importance, you have been chosen And though you've been Victanis Stormshield up until this point, and you always will be, your new formal name as Queen of Ironmaster is Victanis Ironmaster.
Yay me! Woo!
So after getting your affairs in order, and you've arranged for your boulders to take care of the day-to-day tasks, but in your wisdom, it came to you that while you were the head of the spear that led the army to victory and brought back your home, that you have a lot to learn to truly reign as queen of your people. And so you made the announcement shortly after that you would be leaving, that you would be seeking wisdom from wider than your city, that you would be venturing forth to make a better city. And so you've put your boulders in charge of the day-to-day tasks, and you've made arrangements to hit the road and catch up to the only two outsiders you really know and see what you can learn and while assisting them on their travels. Your boulders and your people stand with you on a few days after the departure of Kayveld and Adric at the same tunnel entrance where you're standing there, supplies gathered, your boulders gathered, your people gathered to say goodbye. A few of them speak up and say, McQueen, you don't have to leave us. We understand, but it wouldn't be right if something happened to you.
Ugh, don't you worry. I'm Vicky. I'm tougher than a box of nails that are really tough. I can't lead the people if I can't talk to others, if I don't know much. I haven't been beyond the walls except to hunt. I need to know more. My dealings with Kayveld and Adric have taught me that outsiders deserve more credit than we give them. And I must go to learn and experience life, and you're in good hands. Jessica will always be here as my number one boulder.
Well, with several cheers and several tears, your people bid you farewell as you turn your way into the tunnels that lead to Hundlestone. After a few days of travel, and you're making good time, you know that you're behind them just a little bit, you come out of the tunnels and you enter the wilderness, and some snow has fallen, winter is upon you, and after another day or two of trekking, it didn't get too much in your way, and you didn't really run into much to delay you, you see the walls of Hundlestone. And this is the first time you in particular have been to this place, though you know of it through the sparse trading that Ironmaster had done in the past. But as you get close, you also notice the smell in the air. Though you don't see any, it definitely smells like smoke, like campfire-y, but pretty heavy and thick in the air. Soon, you get closer and closer. Are you approaching Hundlestone? At this point, it's been a few days. Your supplies are getting a little low.
So, of course, I'm going to go there because I'm looking for Kayveld and I'm looking for Adric. And if I smell smoke, there's usually fire.
Vicky thinks to herself. Note to self, I'm going to put that in front of what she says.
I don't know what you want from me.
I just wanted a yes or no, but that's perfect. I like it.
Oh, okay.
So as you approach, you see parts of the walls around the city, which aren't much of walls. They're pretty short. They're made of wood. They don't really intend to repel much. But some of it is blackened. And as you approach the door, you hear guards from up top. You're like, "Halt! Who goes there?"
"It is Victanis Ironmaster. I'm looking for my friends. Looks like y'all had something go on here. What's happening?"
We recently had a fire break out into town. Have your friends been here long? Who are you looking for?
They're a funny pair of fellows. It's a holy dwarf, because he's pretty holy into himself, and a skinny little human that talks a lot.
You see, as you're looking up, the guards up top, their brows kind of furrow, and they get almost a look of anger on their face. They call back down. If you're friends with them, then you're not welcome here.
Oh, crap, what did they do?
The doors open slightly, and a man starts to come through, and he's being helped by a couple other people, and he steps out of the door kind of with a limp, and he's very burned. Part of his face is all still just scarred and almost bubbled. I mean, it's bad. Part of him is still fine. And he looks at you and says, your friend, the one calls himself Kayveld.
Vicky face palms.
He was tried, and he escaped his hanging, and he set the town on fire. And I'm afraid that we can no longer help you in this matter. He is barred from this town, and those who call him a friend are barred from this town. And the two people help the man turn him back into the town, and the gates shut. The guards don't point weapons at you, but they definitely give you some stern looks and expect you to leave.
I've had experiences with Kayveld. I'll go. Can you point me in the direction that they may have run off to?
With the fire going, we don't know where they left.
So Vicky resigns from trying to get any more information. She understands this must be a delicate situation, and she herself has encountered Kayveld, so she'll ask him what happened when she finds him. So she's just going to turn around and shake her head and walk toward Luskin.
After a day of traveling or so, and this is a pretty well-known road, it sometimes can attract bandits. Sometimes it can, you'll find other travelers. And after about a day of traveling, you make camp, spend a night. You're getting a little low on rations because you meant to refill at Hundlestone, but you're a military dwarf and you know how to cut that back if you need to. And in the next morning, you hear a loud kind of rumble behind you, and you turn around to see a human and a gnome driving a cart pulled by two horses, and they pull up beside you and say, "Ho, traveler, are you out here alone?"
"Who wants to know?"
"Well, my name here, pleased to meet you, by the way, is Fayon, and the little one here is Tobias. We call him Tobby. We're just merchants. We've making a short trip down to Luskin, and we just wanted to see if you, fair dwarf, needed any assistance."
"Oh, you're headed to Luskin. I'm headed that way myself. My name is Vic Tannis. People called me Vicky, but you don't know me well enough yet, so you can still call me Vic Tannis."
"Vic Tannis it is." And Tobby goes, "Ah, pleasure to meet you." So they invite you up onto the cart and say, you wouldn't mind. We don't expect much trouble out here, but if some comes to pass, so we don't really have coin to pay for a guard, but would you mind assisting? You seem to be the capable sort in a scuffle."
"I don't need money, but I could use a little salted fish if you guys have some."
They stop and think, and Tobias turns around and kind of digs through his rations a little bit and turns back and goes, "I'm so sorry. I don't seem to have any, and we're not peddling food, you see. It's these little..." He pulls out a little... You don't really know what it is. It looks like a doll. And he winds something in the back, and the doll just kind of starts to move a little bit, almost as if by magic.
"That's creepy."
"It's a clockwork toy. We've been working on them."
It's a creepy work toy.
Well, they teach their own. Hop on and let's head on to Luskin, where we plan to sell some of these. And if you see anybody that might be interested, send them our way.
Aye.
All right. Well, they let you into their cart, and what can I say? But it's a fairly pleasant trip. They're a little bit chatty, but they're pleasant people. And actually, you get to Luskin in much better time than you might expect. They get up to the gates, and they go up and talk to the guards, and the guards come kind of look through their wares, and they eye you over a little bit, but you don't seem to concern them too much, and they open the doors and let the cart in. Once you guys are inside the city, they turn to you and say, well, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we didn't have any troublesome bothers. Is there anything else we can assist you with? You've been such pleasant company.
Well, I am looking for two friends of mine, a human and a dwarf. They would have been coming this way. Did you two happen to see them on your way?
No, not at all. You were the first person and the only person that we encountered along the road. But well, as long as we're here, we'll keep our ears open. Say, the guards back there, if you wanted to speak to them, generally know who's coming and going from the town. So if they're coming here too, they might have a record.
Okay, new friends. Well, thank you for the ride, and I'm glad I didn't have to crack any heads on the way, because that gets my armor all messy. I like when it's shiny. So I bid thee farewell and hope to meet you in the future.
They bid you a farewell as well. And Tobias actually reaches into his bag and gives you a complimentary clockwork toy. You can hang on to that, he says.
Thanks. I have a friend who probably want it if I go find him after I beat him with it.
All right, so at this point, when you arrived, it was actually morning. I mean, it took you a little while to get to Luskin, and
I do want to go find the guards.
Okay. And so you turn around and head back towards the gates, which aren't too far off. You only just get inside outside the city, and you wave down one of the guards at the gate, and he says, "Yeah, how can I help you?"
Looking for two friends of mine. It would be a skinny little human that talks too much and a dwarf who's very into his religion.
About how long did they pass through?
I'm not quite sure. Maybe the last day or two?
Yeah. From where he's kind of looking down with his hand to his hand, he kind of peeks up and goes, "Oh, let me check the books." And he walks into the little kind of podium-ish guardhouse thingy, a little shack that they sit in. And you see him flipping through some pages, and he comes and goes, yep. They came through just last night, and I believe I overheard that they were heading to the inn, the Cutlass, down by the docks. Actually, I've heard a few things this morning about just how much money he spent there. Ugh, wish I had some of that. And
she face palms again.
And he just kind of nods to you and says, anything else?
No, thank you kindly for the information. I promise to keep the peace, and I'm going to be heading out to go find him. I've got some business to take care of with him.
All right. So you get the directions to the docks, and you start making your way. And this is unlike any city you've ever been to. As a dwarf, you're raised with structure. Everything's orderly. And though there's a decent amount of dwarves in Ironmaster, I mean, everybody gets around pretty well. This is a sprawling throng of people. There's all sorts of races here. There's mostly humans. There's elves. There's other dwarves. There's just a whole bunch of just everything.
I'm going to take my money bag and tuck it in between my chest to just, I'm feeling like paranoid, like I'm, you know, like a kid has never been in a big city, like, oh crap. So I kind of like, you know, get my weapons, tighter and tuck my money in my boobs, and I'm just like a little bit on guard, but okay, because I'm fascinated with all this that I wanted to see.
As you're walking through the throngs of people, you get bumped and you get jostled, and I mean, there's no sense of manners that you would typically expect as being from a dwarf, and people just bump into you and keep on going, and nobody really pays each other any kind of mind. And after a little while of this, you come to the street that you're directed to that has the cutlass. And you turn the corner and you look down and you see the big sign that has the sword on it. And just in time, you actually happen to see Adric and Kayveld leaving. And you go to take a step forward and you go to call out, but it's pretty loud. Nobody would be able to hear you. And a moment later, you see a few more people come out of the inn behind them, very conspicuously and very obviously watching them.